meeting with the Lord's Prayer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a very special day. We will try to keep the meeting moving along so that those who would like to witness history at noon can do so. We'll begin with approval of the agenda. Are there any additions or changes?
Yes, I do have several items. First, under appointments, I'd like to defer on that because we're not quite ready at this point, which is number one under myself. And under executive session, I'd like to strike land acquisition at this time.
Are there any other additions or changes?
There are no introductions today.
So we're still having the executive session, Mr. Baker. We're just not having it on land acquisition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask that we keep that on? There is an issue regarding a particular piece of land that came to my attention this week.
Sure.
Okay. So we will keep land acquisition. We will delete appointments, and we'll delete introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. Could I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Been a motion and a second to approve the agenda as amended. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Reading of correspondence. Mr. Griffin?
We have a couple of items. We have a letter from the Indian River Senior Center thanking council for its support through the years through the Human Service Grant Program, and saying that because of your generosity and that of others, we're now occupying our new center, and they're also wishing council members, new and old, all the best in their efforts to guide the county in the best way. A letter from DAPI. Let's see. Thanking council for demonstrating your belief in their work and the support that you have given them through the years. And a letter from the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, thanking council for a human service grant. A letter from the Boys and Girls Club of Delaware, on behalf of the Oak Orchard Boys and Girls Club, thanking council for a contribution to their annual One campaign. A letter from the YMCA of Delaware, thanking council for a gift to their 2008 YMCA Strong Kids campaign. That's all the correspondence, unless someone else has someone.
Are there any other correspondence? I'd like to thank the council for their patience in my new role. I do make mistakes quite often at this point. I skipped right over approval of minutes. If we could retract back to that agenda item. In your packets were the minutes of the January 13th meeting, I believe.
But if you want to defer, since
it's
up to you all.
Okay. There was a problem with the U.S. mail this week, and I guess in light of that fact, maybe we should defer so the council can have time to take a look at
those. I just got
minutes.
Mine today, yeah. This morning. So.
Very good. So we will skip the minutes. Moving on to the county administrator's report, Mr. Baker.
Yes. The first item of business is proposed legislation, and I'm handing out a copy of House Bill 26, which Mr. Godwin and myself were made aware of, which has been introduced and assigned to the House Administration Committee. The purpose of the bill would be to allow certain unpaid liens held by a county or a town to be subject to the munition collection process, which is a process that we currently use for as a last resort for the collection of property taxes. What this bill would do would enable counties and local governments to collect through the munitions process for, again, as we handle it as a last resort, for outstanding and delinquent water and sewer bills. There is a provision there that would allow it for properties that have overgrowth issues and or demolition type issues. But we envision the benefit to the county would be mainly for sewer, outstanding delinquent sewer bills, where we've gone the extra steps and taken, like we do, try to set up payment options and whatnot, but are unsuccessful in collections. So, again, currently we are able to collect property tax through the munition process. I talked to Ms. Rebecca Trefilis, who works with Mr. Griffin, and also talked with Mr. Griffin about this particular bill. Ms. Trefilis actually handles our tax sales. So anyway, she indicated that the main benefit to this would be, again, the sewer and water bills, and it would be a help in providing a less cumbersome method for the county to collect, again, as a last resort. So we basically wanted to also, Mr. Godwin talked to Newcastle and Kent County, and I think he could fill you in on that. I think they indicated they had no problems with this particular bill.
Does the council have any questions for Mr. Godwin or Mr. Baker on this issue? All right, continue.
Okay. Okay, the next item I have is the administrator's report, and I'll hand that out. And there are a couple quick items here for you. First, we received another report from the Delaware Solid Waste Authority, and as per the attached letter, 24,919 pounds of recycled material was received at the West Complex Recycling Center in Georgetown during the month of December. Which is right there by on the county property. Sussex County Advisory Committee for the Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities agenda. Attached is a copy of the agenda for their upcoming meeting on January 26, which will be held at the West Complex on North DuPont Boulevard at 10 a.m. And as you can see, one of their guests is Mr. Michael Vincent. So. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you very much. Next agenda item is Ms. Susie Webb, our County Finance Director.
Thank you. This information was in your packet, and I apologize that you didn't get it in time to study it over the weekend and have any questions prepared. There were two reports in your packet, and I'm handing one out now. There's two that I want to go over with you today. There's two different perspectives right now that we're looking at for our current financial situation. This first report is the general fund revenue and expense report. But first, I need to introduce Gina Jennings, our Director of Accounting, and Kathy Roth, Budget and Cost Manager. They've been very helpful last week. We've been working with Dave and I, putting these figures together and working on these statements for you today. Thank you, ladies. The first report, the general fund revenue and expense report, is for the period ending December 31st, 2008, the first 6 months of our fiscal year. The first column is the year-to-date actual, and it includes revenues and expenditures as the numbers actually fell through December 08, what we actually took in and what we actually spent. The next two columns are our budgeted amounts, the annual budget, which you'll see at the bottom, $54 million, and then the budget prorated year-to-date, $27 million. So we simply take the budget and divide it by the number of months, and we use it as a gauge as to where we should be with our revenues. And the last column is the percentage over and under the budget. When we first started bringing this report to council, what we were basically looking at that point was trends, the trends of the drop in the construction and the permit fees and building inspections, and also to monitor the real estate-related revenue that was dropping as well, like the realty transfer tax and the recorder of deeds. So it was an interesting tool to see we're 15% down, or we're 20% down, or we're 10% down. About a year and a half ago is when we start just looking at the budget percentages to see how far the revenues were off. Now it's become a much more important tool. And some of these bigger ones I'd like to go through with you. I realize this is the first time the three new members have seen this report. The property taxes under total taxes under revenue right at the top, we take that all in a couple of months in the beginning of the fiscal year as the taxes are due September 30th. So the proration of the budget really doesn't make much sense for the property taxes in the terms of looking at it, breaking it down for 6 months. As you can see, we've collected most of our property taxes. Of the $12 million budgeted, we've collected $12.1. We budgeted $12.5. So that being said, we'll go on to the realty transfer tax. This is where an example of what we budgeted versus what we've taken in and where we feel we're off the budget by prorating it. We're about 16% short there. Going on down to the services, we group these in terms of like segments, like building and construction or be your next set. And as you can see, no surprise, fire service fees are down on the percentages off the budget, building permits, building inspections. And this is what we've been monitoring in the last year or so, particularly in the last 6 months, where we're off our budget, where we're taking the hit. Going on down, the grants, we can kind of pretty much guesstimate to a certainty what our grants will be as we work with the state agency, the biggest there being the paramedic grant. Constitutional offices, that's another one where we have related fees, real estate related fees, like the recorder of deeds. So as the recorder of deeds has dropped 33%, which is typical and what we expect to see, the sheriff is also up 94%. So that kind of almost balances itself out to only about a 1% decrease as compared to the budget on a proration basis. Rent, we pretty much can tell to a certainty what our rents will be. And then down to the next column is the miscellaneous. You can see interest, a negative 41%. That, as we know, in this year, things change so fast. So when we were budgeting in February of 2008, we had no idea what was going to happen with the economy, and interest rates have really dropped, and which will be affecting our budget. The next page are the expenditures. Same kind of columns, the year-to-date actual, the annual budget, and the expenses prorated. There's just a couple of qualifications that I want to make on this report. Our pension comes out in the first 6 months of the year. It's not prorated because we pay it in December, so it is in the year-to-date actual. And our insurance costs are all paid basically up front as well. For instance, if you look at my department, finance, you'll see I'm 122% over budgeted. But actually, I pay for all the insurance costs up front, and then we get to the end of the fiscal year, we have good actual numbers, and we allocate the insurance among the department. So I will be getting a credit, where other departments like the medics will be getting a charge. Same thing with personnel expense. It's a large 700% increase. It's the workers' comp insurance there. Personnel pays for the whole workers' comp insurance for the year. And then as we find out what our actual salaries are at the end of the year, we allocate back. You'll notice on Emergency Operations Center and a couple of the other expenditures where it looks like they're over budget for the proration, but in total they're not. And this would be because some of those departments would have software costs or software maintenance costs that they would pay at the beginning of the fiscal year, but it would be for a whole year. So if they pay that in July or August, we're charged in the actual, but they won't have to pay it again in the next 6 months of the year. So basically what this report shows is our actual as of December And if you look down at the bottom line of the excess, we have a small excess revenues over expenditures of $118,000. I'm sorry, I forgot to say, you can access these reports on your monitor if you'd like to see them there, too. The next page is the Capital Improvement Fund. This fund is completely different from the general fund. This is a fund where we account for our projects that typically take over a year to complete, the larger capital projects, like there are airport improvement work, or if we build a building, or one of our library expansion projects. This fund has been funded over time with budgeted money that we've put in over many budget years. For instance, the EOC building, which was a $13 million building. Well, over 4 or 5 years, we saved and moved money into the Capital Improvement Fund, knowing that we were going to build this building. So where you see the revenue does not meet the expenditures, our expenditures are for money that we have reserved or designated in previous years. Some of the big projects that we've done to make up the capital improvement expenditures of $8.7 million that you'll see on there is the library expansion, airport improvements, and the purchase of the property on Route 13. So I don't know if you would like to stop and see if there's any questions on that report, or I can go on to the next one and we can do it all at the same time.
Does the council have any questions for our finance director? Please continue, Susan.
Okay. The next report is our estimated revenues and expenditures. So what I'm doing here is taking where we're finishing today and projecting it out for fiscal year 2009. First column again is our year-to-date actual at December 08. It's the same column that was on your other report. All actual numbers, revenue, expenses. If we shut down at the end of December, what our estimated surplus for the fiscal year would be, the $118,000. The second column is what I expect to collect or spend in the next 6 months of the fiscal year, being January through June of 09. And then the third column is the total anticipated revenue and expenses where I expect to finish for fiscal year 09. On the revenues, I used a basis of where I was for the first 6 months of the fiscal year to estimate where my revenues will be for the total fiscal year 2009. I did not use the budget revenue because I knew we were so far off already that would just be a total misstatement. So, for instance, on the realty transfer tax, it was looking like we were $3 million off our budget. So I only put in for estimated revenues where I felt we would finish at the end of the year and not overstating it by the budget amount. For the expenditures, although, I assumed we would spend our budget. So it's sort of like the worst-case scenario. I dropped my revenues back to reflect the actual economy or market or where we were in collections. But on the budget side, for this presentation, I assumed we would meet our budget. So on the second page, third column, is the shortfall. If we spent everything that we said we were going to do in the budget, where we would finish for the end of fiscal year 2009.
And that's $7 million, some odd, 7.8? 7.7?
Yes,
7.7.
7.7. Obviously, we need to make some cuts. We need to make some choices and decisions. That wasn't a surprise. We knew that the revenues, by monitoring the way we do, that the revenues were off large percentages, particularly the realty transfer tax. I have another handout. This is the easy one. This kind of gives you a reason of why we had the deficit. Assuming that we would spend per the budget, where are we short? Going into fiscal year 09, we did budget $2.5 million in appropriated reserves, meaning we knew we were going to need $2.5 million of a rainy day funds to balance our budget. Realty transfer tax at the end of December is $3 million off. These are all actualities. Row office fees are off $50,000. Building permits, $375. Building inspections, $65. Private road inspections, $230. Our 911 fee, $50. And interest could possibly take a $900,000 hit. That was So these are some of the reasons why our revenues are down, not being able to meet our budget to close that shortfall or that gap.
So
and that's
saying,
the challenge is to close that gap.
Thank you. Are there questions for our
the budget
finance director?
Appropriated reserves. Are you saying, what are you saying? You're saying $2,550,000.
When we prepared our budget and we had our revenues and we had our expenses, we were short the $2.5 million, so we used rainy day funds to balance the budget, basically.
Are there any more rainy day funds?
I don't think so. No, that's not it.
There are more rainy day funds.
Yeah.
We have reservation. Yes.
Yes, we do have sufficient funds.
Mm-hmm.
What would that? Is that something that's confidential, or is that something we could? Is there a number there that we should know that? In other words, we have money we've put aside. We call it the rainy day fund. Because I know the state of Delaware has one, but it doesn't really exist or something like that. Or the federal government has one, and it doesn't really exist. But we have one that really exists.
Oh, yes.
Yes, right? We have, as you're aware, we have for a number of years. And if you look in the audit, there's a sheet that shows how we've had so many good years.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We've been able to set some money aside. And that's to get through the rough times. And that now we're in a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have sufficient funds at this time, but we do feel, and our budget committee does feel, that we need to certainly make some changes, and even in this budget year, some additional changes in this budget year. Again, Sue's estimate, we think, is hopefully a worst-case estimate, and she projected the expenditures based on basically assuming that we spent what's in the budget,
mm-hmm.
which we've taken steps over the last few months to not do that, and we would like to report on that and some additional changes we are suggesting to make, which is the next item on the agenda, I think.
Are there additional questions for Ms. Gwynn?
So you're saying that we may have to dip into rainy day funds to the tune of $2,550,000 this year. Is that what this statement says?
We anticipated if everything went exactly per the budget, then we would have to do that.
Okay.
Yes, and that number is less than what we budgeted the year before. The year before we budgeted over $4 million, $4.4 million for to use out of rainy day funds to make that budget go work.
So that's in the
this seven. Year we tried to reduce it to 2.5. We cut our general fund budget by 5%, so compared to the previous year. So the $2.5 million is basically part of the 7.7. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. Of the 7. Whatever million,
right?
That's included.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
And is it restricted? Can it be used for operations? Is it restricted?
Yes. There are some restrictions on realty transfer tax money, but we don't see that as a problem. You can really transfer tax money can be used for public safety, for repayment of debt service, for infrastructure, for economic development.
Pretty much everything.
It's fairly broad,
yeah,
so we don't.
We have enough expenses in our budget.
Yeah.
To pull in realty transfer tax, that would.
Okay, but from what you've handed out here on the reasons, there's not much we can do to affect these. There's nothing we can do to change realty tax, row office expenses, and building permits, et cetera, et cetera. So we got to look somewhere else, right? And you say you do have a suggestion.
Yes.
Where to look, okay, because this stuff, we're stuck with this. You didn't say how much do we have in a rainy day fund. Is that something
we have set money aside, and we do have balances.
Approximately.
Cash balances probably would last us. Could last us
5 to 7.
4 to 5, 7
okay.
years,
yeah.
Something like that. But we you know, it,
but that's if not there the time to go through it.
Funding
oh,
levels,
no, no, I'm not saying right. we don't use it. No, if, no, I think it just shows that,
right.
you know, during the good years, we did act very responsibly here in Sussex County, and we did put yes. away some money, and it does exist. And it'll cushion us, you say, we have enough cushion. At what point? At $2.5 million a year?
No, at higher amounts.
Oh, yeah.
You could even, in other words, whatever it takes, we probably have sufficient funds to get us through that.
Well, obviously, if the General Assembly came back and said the counties are no longer going to receive or no longer being able to collect realty transfer tax plus paramedic state funding would be zeroed out, I mean, those are... You know, that's a different, complete different look to this.
Right,
and that's something
really,
that we have to
we
continue
need
to monitor
you know,
and continue to monitor the economy.
Mr. Vincent, do you have questions for the finance director?
No, the only thing, in fact, Council Wilson brought it up, but I'm going to assume that the $50,000 short projection, that 911 fee, is pretty much because a lot of people now are going to cell phone versus landline phones, and there is no 911 tax on cell phones, correct?
That's correct. That's, yes. You hit it right on the head.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson?
He asked my question.
Okay. I would like to compliment the finance director and the other folks working on this particular report, which gives us not only the accurate numbers to date, but then gives us a estimated actual through the end of the year. The budgeted numbers often confuse the issue, but I believe this report is a very accurate reflection of where we are and where we expect to be. If there's no more questions for the finance director, I'll turn the meeting over to the county administrator for his report.
Thank you. There we go. The next item, as we just discussed,